This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford. And it's time to build you up to Manchester City away, where, you know, the absolute kings are going to the Etihad and winning. But we'll get into that. Who better to speak to this week on International Waffle Day than Sam Hesketh and Carl Davies? Welcome, lads.
What an introduction.
Fair play.
Yeah, so Albert is once more on holiday, just true to form, jetting off. So Carl is standing in. We've asked on Twitter for some questions around transfers, which we'll get to later. But first up, I went to the cricket last night instead of Oxford away. It'd been long time booked. I've done Oxford away and the missus came to the cricket as well. The missus ended up having to leave the cricket with the baby pretty sharpish because for some reason we didn't take ear defenders. So he was crying every time a boundary was hit. So she had to ship off. I must have drunk 7 pints of cider. I've like felt rotten all day. But now I've got Tiny Rebel Tropica, which I've had many times before and on the pod. I've had the double. This is the triple version of the IPA. Setting it in at 10%.
Oh my God.
It's a short pod.
So yeah, shout out to Tiny Rebel. They actually retweeted us last week, so I feel like some free beers are coming at some point. We're going to make it happen.
Unfortunately, I'm yet to get a tweet off Revels, so we're going to keep plugging away at that as well.
And should Stone Island be listening? I'm a big fan of their jacket.
Badge in. What are you drinking, Carl?
I've gone double bubble because I've got a bit of a sore throat. So I have gone for, I've got a can of Longboard. Which, if I'm brutally honest, I did actually go for a can of Aura. I looked at it and went, I think I bought that a little while ago. The eyes aren't good. Lise, check the sell-by date out. Mrs. D checks the sell-by date. It was out of date in 2021. I think I bought it in lockdown. And I have my second can coming up, played very safe. I'm on the Gamma Ray Beavertown.
Lovely stuff. Doesn't make you a Spurs fan, no matter what anyone says.
And as we said many times before, in private, and we were there at the time, God bless Beavertown at the Spurs Brewery, and don't believe the hype where it's a cashless system. You will find you get very good deals for cash.
Yeah, three for a fiver. Hesketh.
You know me. I'm drinking water. I was going to say, it almost felt like I'd been drinking a lot of beer yesterday when you texted me from the cricket, because my signal was pretty bad and you sent a photo, which was, but you know, when before it downloads and it's all just really blurry, and I was trying to figure out who was in the photo other than you. And you were texting me about the name of a WhatsApp group chat that I'm in that you're not in. So myself, my wife, Vanessa and Cara spent a good minute, maybe more, looking behind us at the Oxford Stadium. I'm sure he said he wasn't going to be here, but that he must be near us to read over my shoulder. So it turns out you're with a mate. I wasn't drunk. I was just an idiot.
Carl, believe it or not, I believe it said word for word, Elise's finished or something like that.
No, hang on. For me, I'll get... Whoa. You've got me sweating already.
Can I just say it took everything I've got on Sunday after that Villa performance and being mesmerised by Eze to not go through all of those tweets from about mid last season where people going, he's finished, we should flog him, he's never going to get back to where he was.
No, ridiculous. Like he's frantically scrolling through that WhatsApp group.
I'm stressing out. I'm in so many WhatsApp groups of you lot. I don't know what was said in what. This is killing me.
So I believe this was in the group that's called, I don't know, Eze and Zaha on Tings or something like that.
Oh, it's called Wilf and JP on a Ting.
Okay, Wilf and JP on a Ting. Yeah.
Is that why you're wearing your Jordan Ayew shirt at the moment, Eskif? Deep down, you want at least to be out so your man's plays every week.
Ayew ultras, 100%. I said, to be fair, I said in the first half, Elise's touch is awful today, is what I said. And then I just got pelters from someone who's not in the group.
Brilliant. So you heard it here first. Ayew over Elise.
He won a penalty.
He did win a penalty, yeah. That guy wanted to take his shirt home with him, didn't he?
He didn't
have a wonky badge, that's why.
Well, if it was wonky, bloody pulled it back straight, that's for sure. Right. I'm going to get into this. And it's obvious who I'm going to be talking about here. It's... the man who's got me questioning my sexuality. It's Joachim Andersen. Have you seen his Instagram post today?
Oh, yes.
Steve Parrish, he's in a silver suit. And he's got the beautiful curtains hairstyle, but, I mean, Steve Parrish, he needs to be knocking up Susanna Reid because she gets one look at Joachim Andersen across Spronies and it's all over for him. I'm sorry, that's enough of that.
I do have to say, I put the thing on my Instagram story with sort of like a gif of someone swooning, and my entire Instagram like DMs is all these random people I know who have absolutely no interest in football whatsoever, including my old manager, who has said, why are CPFC recruiting models and where can I get one? I then look on Twitter, and my entire Twitter, started off by Terence, it's just loads of Palace fans coming out for Joa.
Yeah.
Like the entire feed.
I think Dan said it needs to be on the cover of GQ magazine. It looks like a GQ magazine shoot. Yes. It really does.
So business opportunity wise, do you think we could take the Palace license for, I don't know, Eagles underwear? And you see him, you know, before Calvin Klein get him locked up.
Eagles underwear. We'll have to.
It's got to be a better title. Well, as we go through the rest of the pod, we'll come out with a different title.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it's 12 months of him in his boxers, I'll buy it.
I guess we don't want to talk about where his beak is then.
Listen, I've got. As you know, my AC Milan supporting friend has said he's basically Pirlo, but better looking.
Spraying that ball.
And I mean, you can't, passing-wise, you know, he's over a middle to long length. It's unbelievable. I mean, Carl, have you ever seen anyone dish it better from the back, especially not for Palace, I'd imagine?
No. Honestly, he's a... best I've ever seen. And I've got to say, best I've ever seen it, you know, because you don't watch other clubs, other teams inside out. I've just not seen anybody do what he does with a ball. And actually, when he's not on the pitch, and you saw it a little bit yesterday up at Oxford, you know, it's not like Mark Gay is bad at it either. But he's not. Yuck. You know, he's not. It's unreal. It's absolutely unreal.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, on Sky Sports the other week, he was getting compared to Ronald Koeman, which is high praise indeed, anyone who ever saw him play. And, you know, we might be able to keep hold of him for a few years. You never know, because let's face it, he is half a yard of pace off, but you know, he's good enough in his head to get out of trouble with it quite a lot. But yeah, if he had half a yard more pace, he'd be at the very top of the game. There's no doubt about it.
The bit that surprised me most about him, is that he played a season. So he'd had the Samp move. Then it was to, was it Lyon? Was Lyon, wasn't it? Lyon, no, sorry, yeah. Was that Lyon? Yeah, Lyon to Samp. Yeah, Samp to Lyon. And then he's had the year in the Premier League where I think we all thought he was pretty good. I just cannot believe somebody, and a Villa at the time or an Everton at the time who were chucking big money around, just really didn't go get him. Because, you know, Fulham made him a captain after about 34 seconds, didn't they? So everybody saw his leadership. Yeah. He went down fighting when the club really didn't. He looked bloody good then. I just can't believe. I mean, and we got him at a knockdown price. I mean, I know he was linked with Spurs and all that, but we actually held out and we negotiated them down. I mean, you'd double your money overnight now, wouldn't you? I mean, he's a fantastic player. Can't believe, though, he's 6 foot whatever and he hasn't scored yet, but... It'll come.
Oh, it's coming. It's got to come. Surely it's got to come. I mean, they're using him a lot as the knockback across at the far post.
Yeah. You
know, when the ball's right, no one can beat him in the air there. He's easily winning it. And if you think Edouard missed a couple at Oxford again last night, headers, missed the one. Who was it against at Selhurst?
Arsenal.
Oh, it was Arsenal. He headed it back across and... Yes, but as soon as it was at his feet last night, Edward, he tucked it away. So we'll get into Oxford. We're going to ease in with these new chants. So we've got the Tyrick Mitchell one. Did you hear it? Was that sung at Oxford last night?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah,
like
that lot. Really good.
Winner.
Yeah. Rebel Winner. Rebel by David Bowie. Tyrick Mitchell, he plays in defence. Tyrick Mitchell, a player possessed. Tyrick Mitchell, we want you to know, our left back, we love you so. Great song selection. Flows nicely. Reminds me a bit Aaron Wan-Bissaka about it, you know, going to that sort of era to find the tune. Lovely stuff. And then Evra Eze. Was this to Dizzy?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't quite work it out when I was singing. I was like, is this supposed to be I'm So Dizzy?
I couldn't get it, couldn't hear it. So it was on my list to go search when I came up for air of knowing the answer somewhere to the lyrics would be on Twitter. I couldn't quite work it out from where I was.
Well, what I was saying is, it's because as we've discovered now, Eze is not Eze, it's Eze.
Eze.
So you've got to say, you're making me dizzy like a northerner to squeeze in the rhyme. But you're making me dizzy, Evra Eze, running circles, it never ends, and it's Eze making them spin. Repeat. So yeah, it's all right. Original, different. You don't hear it from any other fans, so Watford and Leicester already got it. They saw it on Twitter. They've got the CPFC hashtag on lock.
I think that they seem like the two, the sort of chance where when people do get to know the words after they've heard them, you know, a game or two, because the Thai one got louder and louder and louder as people were sort of picking it up. Yeah. So I think, yeah, in a couple of weeks, Brighton away, those songs are going to be rocking, I reckon.
Mm. Yeah, if we touch the ball at Brighton away this year.
Yeah. Will the HF get in at Brighton away? Will they let the drum in?
Oh, goodness, I don't know. It's still holding at Saturday 3 o'clock. I'm convinced it's going to change, but I guess it can't now, can it?
No, it's in. It's in. Mm.
So that early drive up from Cornwall to get there is on. Let's see how it goes. We've got to briefly touch on the Oxford game, obviously. I am at your guys' mercy. I wasn't there. I've literally seen the 3-minute highlights on YouTube. Looked like it was a bit of a difficult first half, but still missed a couple of fairly decent chances. As I said, Heskiff, it was Edouard with missed a header at the back post, put it wide. Seemed to be able to create chances whenever we got forward, but based on your messages of saying Elise shit. yeah.
Sell everyone. The first half wasn't great. I think the midfield, I thought Hughes was all right, but the midfield was a bit clunky. Poor old Phillips wasn't as good as I hoped he was, but you know, he's young, it's fine. And we played Caden Rodney at left back. And if I'm right, I think he's a right back normally. And he was okay. I mean, you know, that they were sort of going down his wing for quite a bit in the first half. And like you say, when we got going forward and we passed the ball around, we made a couple of chances. But then second half, we brought on Schluppi, and after that, really just took over the game. Lovely ball from him through to for Edouard for the goal. Sort of split their entire team apart. And then when you've got Ebbs, brought on Ebue at the end there as well, spinning around and doing tricks, couldn't really handle it. What do you reckon, Carl?
Yeah, transformation. First half, midfield couldn't get hold of the ball, and it was a million miles an hour, and we didn't have the quality to put our foot on it. And even I thought, you know, if you know Phillips, Hughes, Luca, they were, you know, you couldn't say they're having bad games by any stretch of imaginations, but they didn't stand out. It was literally transformational. Poor old Phillips came off, and Schluppi got on the ball, and the first time he picked up the ball, he ran with it, and he literally just burst through two people, and it suddenly stretched their midfield. Their defence got slightly deeper, a bit more space in the midfield. Hughes suddenly looked world class because he had a little bit more space. You know, Luca moved from being stood on top of the back of the two centre backs and moved 5 yards further up the pitch, and we took total control from that moment. And yeah, and great summary, you know, the moment the first goal went in, which was an incredible pass by Schlupp, and instinctive finish by Edouard. Never looked like he was going to miss. It was at his feet. He had squared the, you know, you saw him look up, saw the keeper, he went, thank you. He put that in. But the moment that went in, it just turned into, we just went showboating from there on in. And was
that Abbey away little scoop over the Oxford player?
They've been winding him up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It you had to sort of see the 5 minutes of the whatever he was, the 42 or the 47, I can't remember what it was, of Oxford, who'd had a boot at Hughes, two little digs at Ebue, and said something to him. Yeah, your man's got some character. He's got to remind you of Will.
There was a bit right at the end where, I think it was their 42. He'd been having a nibble, and he went in really late, not like diving in, but Hughes had passed the ball and he went in late on him, I think, to give him it. And Hughes literally just leaned into him and started laughing. I was like, that combined with Ebue like chipping the ball over his head from a standing start. not a great final minute for their 42.
Yes. Also, Wilf tweeted about it as well today, like getting him some nice big exposure on social media with it as well.
He's a talent, you know, isn't he? He's another talent. It's exciting. He's a talent.
He really is. I mean, the under-21s game against Brighton, I watched that, and he was just running rings around them. And it's like, it's kind of that, when you first saw Elise kind of vibe, where it's just like, it doesn't matter who he's going to be playing against, it doesn't matter. You can't get the ball off him. You know which way he's going, you know where he's going, but you're not going to get it off of him. He's got enough strength about him. I feel like it's different now with 10 years on, 12 years on from Will's debut, and you saw skinnier wingers a lot often then, but it's like, you know, it's advanced in that they know how to bulk them up quicker and get them bigger quicker, because they both look like big lads already. You know, when you think about how skinny Wilf was when he first broke onto the scene, and, you know, spent half his life getting absolutely shoulder barged the hell off the ball and into the stands, because that was the only way people could handle him. But good result. Oxford, I watched them against Bristol Rovers the weekend before, and I thought they played some decent stuff, and they, you know, clearly playing for the manager, like to, you know, hard workers and so on. So to go there on a, you know, upset written all over it, that one. So to get through it, showing Vieira's pedigree in the cup some more, and hopefully it will continue. Did we hear the old, we've got Super Pat Vieira?
Yes, yeah. We did.
It's been dusted off. It's been dusted off.
Lovely. And so a little bit of an announcement. I mean, it's nothing major, but at SoCPFC, who's a lifelong Palace fan, good old boy, loves his stats, and he's going to be providing us each week now with some stats. This one he provided to Twitter as a whole, saying 50 goals have now been scored by Crystal Palace players who have an acute accent in their name.
Oh, yes.
Last night was the first time in history. Yeah. We listed them off, so you can get to them quite easily. So obviously Luca's got 30 of the 50.
Yeah.
And then you've got Edouard has got an accent on his E. Yeah. Sasa Cercic. Who else is there? I can quickly go to the guy. Sasa Cercic, Mark Gay, Cheku Kuyate. And then the last one, see if you can get there, scored one goal only, and it was an absolute screamer.
It's not Gordon Petrich.
It is Gordon Petrich.
Oh, my yes. word. Blimey, yes.
I don't know why that popped into my head.
Well done, you, Sam. Yeah, Sheffield great United. Goal. Yeah, great goal.
While we're on it then, because this was a classic one from after the Villa game. All-time Palace goal scorers, when their surname ends in A. So Wilfried Zaha is obviously the top. Jean-Philippe Mateta went second with 9. But who is he surpassed in third? So surname ends in A. Scored 7 goals for Palace. Was a striker. We only had him for one season, I think. So you can let that cook away in your brain and come back to it later, see if you can get there. So there you go. There you have it. First time in our history that 2 players with an acute accent in their name has scored. We haven't got the draw yet, have we, for the next round? It takes place after Newcastle Tranmere, which is playing right now.
It's going to be soon. Yeah.
Yes.
So we did get last week on the pod. We got it live on the pod, didn't we? So,
as we're recording, there's about 2 or 3 minutes of injury time. So hopefully we'll know soon.
And obviously last week on the pod, Albert called it. He said it's going to be Oxford away. So no pressure, Carl. Who are we going to get?
Well, I could play safe, but I'm going to go big and I don't know any of the scores. Forest Green Rovers away.
3-0. 3-0 was a Brighton, I'm afraid.
All right, okay, all right. Then I'll skip that. I don't want Brighton. It's Crawley at home.
I think Crawley. We and Crawley would take that.
It's Crawley at home.
All right, but do you remember when they come down for the Zaha? Well, Zaha scored 2 against them, didn't he? In, what was it, 2011, something like that. And they were singing the whole "You Stupid Bastards, You Burned Your Own Town" song thing, trying to get it large.
That's exactly what it was, yeah.
I'm gonna go for everyone's favourite League Cup tie, Bristol City away.
Are they through? They're winning 3-1 at Wickham, so yeah.
Bristol City away, I've got a feeling we'll have a few in the way end who might have gas tendencies.
Well, if it's Charlton at home again, like it was a few years back, it'll keep us all warm on a November, a cold November night when the game actually comes around.
Do you think we'll let Jez play?
Surely it's in the contract that he can't, or is it? I don't know how it works. We wouldn't let him play. I think it'd be silly. It's just not worth it for him, especially if he has any designs on coming back and trying to make something happen. But I'll take MK Dons away, new ground.
Oh yeah, that'd be a good one.
I just haven't been there yet. I guarantee you there's no new grounds left for you in the competition, is there, Carl?
No, you're fine. I've got one at Conference North and one at Conference South, I think I've got to do. That's the where I am in the levels of grounds. I've done everything in the National League and the 92.
Okay. So we'll talk about the draw as and when it comes out the hats. So moving on to City then. Now, our friend at SoCPFC, the last time Palace kept consecutive clean sheets against Man City before last season was in 92-93. We drew 0-0 twice. The next time we played City one all draw. And it was the fifth game of the season, so early doors as well. Bruce Dyer scored our goal in that one. So, you know, good omen in that sense that once we hold it over City, we hold it over them. But this is the big one, and Hesketh's going to love this one. The last three Saturday away games at City, Palace 3, City 2, 2-2, and Palace 2, City 0. I mean, Pep Guardiola, surely at this point, we are living rent-free in his head. Because you saw it in that Amazon documentary where he talked about it. Like, you know, next week at Selhurst Park is our hardest game of the season, blah, blah, blah. We clearly live in his head for whatever reason. And it's continued with Patrick Vieira. So, Carl, you know, you want these games early. You want to get these teams early before they're in full flow. So,
yeah, I agree.
Based on them playing right now. They're playing right now. As we speak,
and
talk to me about that.
When does Champions League start? Is that next week? Oh, it's too early. Too early. Must be 2 weeks. They get a free week off next week. But yeah, look, they're out playing. They're in Barcelona at the present moment in time. We've got that obviously that chilled for Saturday. We're nip over and we're playing the Catalonians. So with the full squad,
unbelievable. We're saying it's literally started tonight. In a friendly game against Barcelona just at the start of the season. Carl Walker, Ruben Diaz, when they've got severe centre-back troubles as it is, especially after Ake went off on the weekend. Bernardo Silva's playing, Riyad Mahrez is playing, Phil Foden's playing. It's just, I can't believe it. This obviously should work out as great news for us. But so Hesketh, we've dug out some great memories at the Etihad in recent years.
We have.
Last year shocked the hell out of me, to be honest. You know, Zaha through the middle, causing him all sorts of problems, getting what's his chops at the back sent off.
Laporte
for the
turned him
the
tight
tackle. He did indeed.
I've got a mate who's a season ticket old Man City, and he texted me at half time of that game last season, was just like, Wilf's got us on strings. Like, obviously I'm always one like, and even at 1-0 with them having 10 men like we saw against Liverpool, you know they're good enough to get a goal. So I still wasn't like, oh, we've won. But he said to me, Wilf's got us on strings. You've got this game. Like, he was way more confident about it than me. And it was a great performance. And both goals were really good. I think Gallagher's, when we broke through Elise, the sort of movement between Elise, Wilf and Gallagher for that goal was... I really wish I'd been there.
Elise's first touch on that counter is just ridiculous. Unreal. He's like surveying the field and it's almost like he forgets to take the ball with him is what it looks like. And then it just, as he brings his trailing foot forward, the ball's just stuck to it. It's just incredible. Incredible stuff.
The bit that still surprises me, and we were actually talking about this about Oxford, and you know, there's various moments in the season you go, that's Vieira, or that's probably doing Sam Roberts. You know, not giving him any credit here. This is Roberts and Vieira. There was obviously the second half at West Ham when you went, oh, okay, I get it. This is what it's about. This is a good West Ham team, and suddenly we are outplaying them. The next one was 1-0 up at City, and you're absolutely right. Tactically, Zaha up top, get him tight. Get the ball in behind, get him turned, let them turn. And you saw two or three goes before Laporte got sent off of where we tried that. And you saw a little bit of that up at Anfield last week. The next big bit for me, though, you're 1-0 up. There's 10 to go. What are you not going to do? You are surely not going to bring on Michael Olise. He brought on Michael Olise. We'd gone really tight in that midfield. We'd boxed him. We were literally got to an 8 or a 9 behind the ball, and they were keeping hold of the ball. And I can't remember who he took off, but he took off somebody out. He took off Kiati, I think it was. Somebody could undoubtedly look back and go and remember it and go, no, it wasn't that. You're making that bit up. But he took off somebody like Kiati and brought on Olise and put him out wide right. And literally, in a moment, changed the game, but changed a little bit the momentum of the game because they suddenly had something to worry about as he kept breaking. Yeah. It was wonderful to see. Brave manager. Love it.
Yeah, it was an excellent day. And again, it's one of those, we're not going to Northern away games at the moment when we pick up results is absolutely killing me. Like, just every time we get a result away up north, I'm like, oh, I'm not there. So, obviously, we went to Anfield very recently and played five at the back, which Twitter had a complete meltdown, as it likes to do at times. But of course, it worked out really well, soaked up the early pressure and then really, you know, got our patterns right going forward on the counter and got into the game, scored an incredible goal. And then, I mean, really, I think we should have won that game as it went on. Wilf really unlucky to score, not to score at the end again. Heskip, can you see us going five at the back again? Or do you think, you know, City, where you kind of get joy with City is, you know, Liverpool is, you've got to get them in our final third, where City is, you can cause mistakes at the back and get in and amongst them. So do you want that extra man up top?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I think, like we mentioned, Wilf up front last year at Man City looked really good. And there was a plan there, like Kyle said, and the plan worked. And when we saw five at the back in the lineup at Liverpool, I'm not a huge fan of five at the back, just because I'm not really used to Palace playing it. But I think Vieira got that spot on at Anfield. Can't argue that at all. So I don't know the answer, but I'm really interested to see which way he'll go. Is he going to mix it up? Is it that when we play teams at the very top, we do go five at the back? I think we'll probably have Wilf in the middle, just because I think he's shown that he's able to use that pace and he makes the right runs at the right times. You know, I don't think we're going to see Wilf sprinting about the back line, the opposition back line closing down every way, but he seems to be really good at picking his spots. And when you've got someone like Ebbs who's able to play the passes that we saw against Liverpool, you know, it's very effective. So yeah, I'm not sure is the wishy-washy answer, but I'm really interested to see how we line up and whether that's sort of a recurring theme as the season goes on.
Can you see it, Carl, fired or back, or do you think it will be?
I think he will. I think just for a couple of it, again, everything that Eskip said there, I totally agree with. I think we can bank on it being Wilf up top. Not only because he's our best finisher and he probably gives us our best movement and he's probably the most confident of the three that can play up at the top, or four if you include IU came on and played the centre forward last night. But yeah, he's the most confident of the lot. We also saw the formula work last year, and he'd try and run in between the two and he'd try and spin off the back. I think it'd be five, not for the protection of the defence. I think it is we don't have that press with Conor Gallagher that naturally comes when having the three. And that press is high up. So, you know, we unsettled City. If you think last year, there was two chances before Wilf got Laporte sent off, whereby Connor won the ball really high. They weren't used to being pressed that high. He won the ball really high and we broke on it. We haven't got that. And he's not going to be able to replace that. Not that high up the pitch. You'll get Decore doing it, but it's 20 yards deeper. So I think he'd change the shape to allow us to, I know, burst forward more, win the ball deeper and burst forward more. And I think it'd be again, I imagine it'd be IU towards the right, knowing that he can hold the ball and he'll take the fouls and he'll break play up and he's a bit clever. And, you know, Vieira talks about experience, and that's that bit of experience. And I imagine it'd be Ebbs out on the left, and he'll allow, you know, I'm assuming it'd be Schlupp and Decore sat down the middle of the pit, sat down the middle with five skirting around. And I guess the questions then come is it Ward or is it Richards? I assume it'd be Ward because he trusts Ward. I'm assuming it'd be Klein Wright, who I think is our best right back or right wing back as stands at the moment, and you know, until you look after himself. I think it'd be that, but yeah, I think he trusts the four defenders if it's a four, just don't think we get as much out of the midfield.
Okay, fair enough. So we'll go straight into predictions because I've got a lot of tweets to get through to talk to Carl about. So Heskiff, what do you think is going to be?
I think we're going to find it a bit too difficult. Haaland scares me quite a lot. let's say 2-0 City. But I think we'll play well.
But Joachim Andersen will just rattle him to within an inch of his life and get him sent off.
Or he'll just fall in love with Yoa and just say, forget it. I don't want to play against you. I don't want to hurt you. So I quit.
Yeah, that's certainly going to be an interesting battle. I mean, there was one point at Newcastle when City had just made it 3-2. And then just before they made it 3-3, De Bruyne put him in, Allah kind of schlup putting Edouard in against Oxford last night. And he went behind, but just defender kind of ended up doing well by tripping over and kind of stumbling Haaland a little bit. And then obviously Pope's really good in that sort of position, came out and spread himself. But just seeing a man that big with that much pace be able to like get through just like your tailor-made for the Premier League, yeah, like, you're going to cause a lot
his,
of games.
His acceleration is absolutely mad, isn't it? Mm. Like, yeah. Scary stuff.
I mean, you don't have to be a football player. I mean, you said it's made for it. If he however long he stays, he's going to score a lot of goals. He's got everything. He's like the player you create to play for your people, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you think, Carl?
I think probably Sam's right. If I was a betting man, I'd go City 2-0. And you know they drop very few points at home. Evidently an incredibly strong team, and you get the feeling they'd be more clinical. I remember coming out of Selhurst last year at the 0-0 and going, if they'd bought Harry Kane, you know, they would have beaten us. And now they've probably got a better player than Harry Kane. But being the romantic that I am, and being that, you know, we're a good team and we're on a run, and I'd back us. If we can see out the first 10 minutes, I'm going 1-1. If we got to see out the first 1-1, and I'm taking the leap of faith that we can see out the first 10 minutes.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I'll always remember in the 3-2 when, was it Gundogan or Bernardo Silva put 1-0 up early? It was like, oh God, we're holding another 6 today.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, we're 3-1 up.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, so, okay, I'm going to...
What are you going for, T?
I'll go an optimistic 2-2. And say that it's...
Big first dominant match of the day. I won't be on for it.
we'll take it. But obviously going to be extremely difficult. But I think early doors are the best time to play these big teams, as I say. Mm-hmm. Get it out of the way early. They're not up to full flow. You've got that. Let's say they're playing in Barcelona right now. Ridiculous times. Okay. So have we got any League Cup draw action yet? Do we know who we've got, or has it still not been made?
Not yet. I've got it on in the background, so I'll jump in.
Did you ask the question there, Terry? Am I going to be watching football on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights instead of Thursday nights? Rangers have beaten PSV.
Oh, my goodness. Is there another round after that?
That's it. Group stage is the Champions League.
Congratulations. You're going to be getting some right pickles coming up for you, fixtures-wise.
My bank account's going to look really ill.
Copenhagen going, getting that, get a draw there, and Trabzonspor to go through is pretty solid as well from them. And Bodo Glimt, they've been building something there, haven't they? They really have been over the last few years.
The answer to that is definitely yes. They have a few things on their side, i.e. their pitch, and the fact that they obviously play in the summer and they're all fully fit and used to playing as one hell of a team, when the season starts, they deteriorate come sort of November, December time. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're 2-2 at the moment on aggregate. Away goals have been stripped now, away goals?
Yeah, no away goals. No away goals.
So yeah, Saskia, it looks like they're going to extra time there. And Newcastle have held on to beat Tranmere, so they will be in the next round of not the Champions League. Not yet, Newcastle fans. Stop getting carried away. You're not there yet.
Can we please avoid Newcastle away in the next round?
Oh, is it not regional anymore?
No, it's not regional. Not seeding, not regional.
See, you know, the Newcastle away in the third round of the league, that would be the sort of fixture I'd try and wrangle it with the missus to go. The amount of stupid shit we've done in the past. But I didn't say anything about how this beer is, and it's 10%.
That's all that's needed.
I mean, look how thick it is.
You'd be banging that to get out of the glass.
Mm. Right, so Carl, we've had plenty of tweets in to ask some questions with the transfer window fast approaching the end. So let's just go through these as they came through. What kind of midfielder, this is from Dan of the South, do Palace want to sign? So we've been linked with Samare and Gallagher, for example, and they're quite different players. So in the middle of the park, what do you think we're going for?
It's both. Is the answer. So Vieira, I don't know if he said it publicly, but I definitely heard him say it because he said it in the forum of the when they did the evening with Patrick Vieira, and he talked about what he wants for next season. He said, look, I trust the club implicitly, and I trust Dougie Freeman. This works better than I ever thought it would do, type comments of, you know, them understanding the type of player we need to bring in and all of that. He said in the midfield, we were going to, with five substitutes and the league getting it even more competitive, we're going to need one extra midfielder in. Now, I don't think there's any doubt, or there's no surprises, they really wanted to try and keep Kiati if they possibly could. And, you know, Doucouré was obviously their first choice by a long way, and they managed to get him. They would have done, you know, they would have always tried to dump Flynn Downs because they really rate Flynn Downs. And obviously, you know, they thought they had him. He was at the training ground. He had the shirt and all of that. So, you know, that all fell through. They would still like to get in a midfielder who can play in the schlup role, cover Doucouré, play where Doucouré plays and let Doucouré play where Schlupp's been playing. But give themselves somebody who can break up play, but still comfortable on picking up the ball, turning on the pivot, etc., etc., etc. So they still want that. They have been holding off doing that. They haven't lost out on, well, obviously they lost out on Flynn Downs, but I mean, none of the other bit players they've been looking at, they've lost out on. But quite pivotal to them is Conor Gallagher. And,
well, Flynn Downs one is so interesting.
Yeah.
Flynn Downs is really interesting because all the noise coming out of West Ham is that he's just nowhere near good enough, which is, I mean, he's not been there long, hasn't had much chance to prove himself, I guess. But
it's funny, he has to live with the decision he made and all of that. And by the same token, he'd probably say, look, you've had chances to buy me previously and you didn't. So, you know, it goes both ways. I can't help but think he would have got the invite. Palace definitely know the player they were buying. If you listen to Swansea fans, and I know one of the non-execs down at Swansea says, look, he's just a hell of a talent. He's as good a player as they've had down there in, you know, 15, 20 years. And that's some statement when you think of the players they've had down there. And I'm not talking, are you? But yeah, that's, you know, he's, and I definitely won't make a reference to Gylfi Sigurdsson, but he's a, or just is, but it's a, you know, he's some talent.
I mean, that's a different kind of 15 years.
Okay, that's exactly right. Yeah. He was a, but yeah. There goes one of the sponsors. I can't help but think he would have got the environment to have been welcomed in, a part of the squad, a part of the team, minutes under his belt at Palace, as opposed to we've bought you, here you go, you're in there and you're expected to be right up to speed from day one, you know. But hey, it is where it is. But yeah, look, we need strengthening in the midfield. In an ideal world, they will bring in two and they will be different types of players. And obviously, I mean, I think most people sort of go, I don't know where this player would play. But would that limit Eze or would that limit Decore or whatever it may be, a Schlupp? There's loads and loads and loads of games to be played. And yeah, we'll worry about who's going to play in the cup final when we make it.
So I think there's obviously a lot of talk about Gallagher and, you know, what goes on at Chelsea and whether he's going to blink in a World Cup year and want to get minutes and whatever, and who would he choose? I think if it comes down to a loan, again, he'll probably choose us.
I think that's the signals.
We've got the loan spaces. but Samore. Quite a few people have asked about him. Do you know much about him? Have you seen any of him?
No, I don't. I don't know anything. Look, the story's out in the press. It's a lie. It's definite. It's a definite real interest. It's a live story. It's not an agent making up. Not making up stuff. It's not an agent doing that. There is definite interest that within there. No doubt about him. But apart from when you look at him and the type of player he is and all of that, you go, yeah, that makes sense for us. That's a different player to Gallagher, absolutely. But you go, would he add strength to us as a squad in the Premier League? Yeah, most definitely looks like it.
And I can see the song opportunities to That's Amore with him and the Corey. You can flip between them each line.
It's too bright for that, isn't it?
We have had two people. And off the back of, there's a Twitter account that is a bot that puts together fake transfer news. And recently it came up with The Sun has reported that David Nugent is moving to Palace in a 1.2 million switch. It's finally happening. So multiple people have been asked about David Nugent.
How good would that be if the Palace admin went and did it? You know, they went and did a deal with David Nugent. We are signing him, but I don't care what he does. They signed him for Spironi's Lounge on a Saturday. We did the announcement, the big reveal, Danuj, at last.
We've signed him to just protest the Sainsbury's car park to try and get us the space we need. CPFC Jude has said, how much does Carl love everyone, including myself, harassing him for transfer news?
I suppose the obvious answer is I wouldn't go on it if I didn't like it, if you know what I mean. But I do. There's bits. I mean, there's bits where I sort of raise my eyebrows, obviously. I did. I have a sort of a basic thing. I think it's quite rude if you don't reply to people, which sort of comes with a self-fulfilling prophecy of then people tweet you. But that's what you're on there for and all that. The only bit I get frustrated is somebody's going, no, you're out and out making that up, or that's complete rubbish, and you're doing it for the clicks or anything like that. I ain't making a business out of this. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm not selling anything.
It's so true. That's why when they super got rattled recently, when everyone was going off about it was Decore, when it was hanging over there, it hadn't quite happened yet, and people were starting to get worried. And me, you, and Ben Mintram had been together at Ben Mintram's birthday party. Yeah. And I just put together us making up this rumour. And literally, people lost a lot on Twitter. What we were referred to as fucking middle-aged Twitter.
Actually, I'll take it as a compliment at my age. Middle-aged is going.
It was all right for you, kind of all right for me, a massive insult to Ben.
I'd heard on Sunday the Sarr transfer had broken down long before Fabrizio Romano had put it out and all of that. The Sky went the following day, ran the story that I'd heard of how it got pulled. And I wrote the tweet out and I literally went to send it and I went, no, life's too short. I'm going to spend all night with people going, but either Villa fans picking up going, that's absolute rubbish, it's a done deal, we know he's had his medical, la 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 la, and I'm getting bombarded by that. Or I'm getting Palace fans going, does that mean we're signing him? Does that mean so? I'll leave it. Do you know what? I'll just leave it. I just walked away. I put it on a WhatsApp group and that was it.
You need to, what you need to do is start writing the tweet out, screen grabbing it with a timestamp, and then just tweets I didn't tweet.
And then you can just
share the picture after it happened. Upside down twat. I said Serkan.
Don't know who he is.
Any ideas?
No, don't know. No. And I've got to say, look, most of the stuff, 99% of the stuff I get obviously originates, well, a decent chunk of it originates out of Palace, but it originates out in moments and occasions. So most of the stuff I heard that we were going for was back in May. Ended up in a room with some people who definitely knew what we were doing. And, you know, from when we played Leeds at home to the end of the season, and you hear about seven or eight names, and some of those come through. Richards was one of those, and obviously Decore, et cetera, et cetera. There'd be loads of others have come up since then. They didn't think it was available and is available. And yeah, so I'm not saying it isn't true, but yeah, no, I've never heard it mentioned before.
Well, and there's already so many moving pieces with other teams and what business they do and who they lose unexpectedly and so on. And that's the big jigsaw at the moment, isn't it? It's one block's going to be removed shortly and everything's going to fall into place for everyone.
Yeah, as long as Palace don't lose anybody they don't want to go lose, they feel in absolute control. And they desperately wanted to do Decore. That was the one which was, had their hearts racing. That was the one that they needed to get done. And everything else they feel... there's players they want, and they think they think they might be available this window, or they think they might be available next summer. If suddenly next summer turns out they are available this summer, then they will go, they'll have a look at trying to go for it. But they don't feel under any pressure. They've got the full, they have a value of what they think people are worth. And if they can get it, then great. If they can't, they just move on.
Okay. Joel CPFC just said Gyro. Obviously not in the squad last night.
He looks. That Liverpool game cost him. Liverpool away last year really cost him. I know he played in the cup and scored, etc., but that game really cost him. And he's clearly not in Patrick's thoughts, unless he has picked up a recent injury. But yeah, he looks.
I mean,
well,
his contract must be getting there.
No,
his contract must be gone, surely.
No, I don't think. No, he renewed. He renewed under Hodgson. I reckon he could have 2 years. I tweeted after. So Liverpool. Where did we play after Liverpool? Not Liverpool. For the Liverpool game, he wasn't a part of
the Arsenal game.
Yeah, the Arsenal game. Liverpool game. I can't think it was ago. But I tweeted on that. If he ever needed a sign of where he is in the pecking order, he's now starting to get it. When you looked at, Villa. It was before the Villa game. Two keepers on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't a late fitness test, somebody failing. Those two keepers were on the bench the previous night. So, he's been told a message.
Yeah. I wonder if it's one of those, he's good off the field. Everyone likes him, gets on with everyone. You kind of get the impression over recent years that a lot of players don't want to leave because they just love the environment. So prepared not to play and happy to stay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, let's move along. I don't know how to say this guy's name. Is it Aura or a three,
Hour.
four vowels in a row is too much, mate. Like, that's taking a piss.
It doesn't even end in an A, so we won't even get in the top three Palace goal scorers with his name ends in an A. He never even got three appearances.
Talking about you ending in A, did you get there?
No, that's what I was thinking about it. I've still been trying to have this conversation whilst trying to think of a...
I'm going to give you a time frame.
Who's the Arsenal one? Is it one from Arsenal? No.
Between 2000 and 2005, in that range.
Drunk.
Striker played one season.
So 2004,
maybe we kept into like
Adebola. Adebola. Yeah, filling the iron with Adebola. What a lad he is.
Adebola, who would, for the odd 10 minutes here and there would look like the absolute most unplayable beast of a centre forward you'd ever want to see.
Turns into Pele Adebola.
Yeah. Who was the one we got on a loan for Arsenal who scored the weldy goal down at Southampton with Shamak fed him?
Sanogo.
Yeah. So Adebola and Sanogo, both had that similar trait.
Yeah. Well, aren't you credited with saying you got to go and get him to Steve Parish after that performance of Southampton?
After the game, he's the real deal. Just get it done before the loan's up. Just get it done, Steve.
Yeah.
So French resident Frenchman.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. I tweeted this out a little while ago. He's not an unknown player by any stretch of imagination, and I am well and truly imagined Palace have looked at him, etc., etc. I was told by definitely somebody who would know there's very little chance of him going anywhere this summer because he knows his value. He knows there are clubs who want him. He wants to play. He can go and play for Lyon, and he'll run his contract down to the final of the season, and he'll walk away with 15 million. Transfer his signing on fee, his deal next, in 12 months' time will be eye watering. And so, in effect, you've got Lyon pumping him all around at the present moment in time because they'd quite like a fee. And he's going, yeah, I'll go, but I want X, Y, and Z in return. You know, we were there with Nketiah to a certain extent this time last year. So, yeah, I have honestly no idea if Palace are interested. Quite clearly, if they are, that would be no Conor Gallagher arriving because he would play sort of where Eze is playing at the present moment in time, and what one assumes he would, it would, if we were doing it, there's been one hell of a compromise either on the fee, or Text has intervened, or whatever it may well be, or he's changed his approach and isn't looking for a big payday. I assume he'll stay where he is.
Okay. Peter Howard has asked whether you think Teo, Jezrek Saki, Plunge, Phillips, Banks, etc. could be part of the first team next season.
I think there's yeses and nos amongst that. I think clearly Plunge should be at the club, but he looks a long, long way off of it for me. And I doubt that loan move's going to progress him any further along in any real note. And I'll probably get some criticism from some people in Paris.
Well, what happened there? Because it was... you thought it was going to be somewhere else, and then all of a sudden it would appear that John Text has stepped in and went, no, he's going here.
I think so, yeah. I'd heard he was going with O'Brien, and that was to a first division club, and the pair of them were going together, and then suddenly the pair of them are still going together on a date, but they're going to Belgium. So, yeah, obviously that's where that intervention is. Teo's definite. Teo would definitely be, part of the first team squad next season. It's a big, bold statement. Teo would definitely be a part of our first team squad at some stage. High ceiling. They really, really, really like him.
I just heard a big tut, which means the draw's not good.
Draw's done.
We've got Newcastle away.
He's called it. Newcastle away. 2 weeks in a row, we've called the tie on this podcast. There you go. You filled Albert's boots. I said they were big boots to fill, mate, and there you go. Just no pressure, and you absolutely nailed it.
November the 8th or 9th, where is that? Tuesday, Wednesday, just before I go to Qatar. Mrs. D, yeah, I'm nipping off for 3 weeks. Don't worry, hun. What, should we go out the week before? Nah, well, not unless you want to go Newcastle. Happy days. Brilliant. Great.
Famously, your wife believes that Sunderland's just out on the road anyway.
Oh, so. Yes, this is very true.
Teo, good ceiling for sure.
They really, really like him, and they've been trying not to block off that left-back spot because of him coming through with OCT there. And I don't think there's any doubt they really like Jez. Again, it'd be interesting where he ends up playing. At the moment he's slotted in as the right side, but last time I looked, so was Michael Olise there and Sosa Bowie there, and so it'd be interesting if they try to create, who knows where Olise would be in 12 months time, but they're, I wonder if they will try and create him into a slightly different position, a little bit more central, sort of where Eze is, or or being able to come in off the left onto that right peg or further up. But yeah, again, they like him lots. They've chucked money at him to put him on that long-term contract. They've, you know, yeah. We've got some bright young talent there, two of them.
Yeah. And Banks has started well at Bradford, scored and assisted one already. It's lower league oppo, isn't it? It's like you can't get too carried away. But
reminds me of Dougie Freeman. He reminds me of Dougie Freeman so many ways. It's interesting enough. You sort of get a feeling he might be Dougie's favourite as well of all of the ones that have sort of come in. And I know he says, like, you know, the best player he's ever seen at young age is Michael Olise, but I get the feeling he's sort of, you know, he sort of sees a bit of himself in and Scott Banks. I'd be amazed if we remain a Premier League club if he breaks through at us, as much as there always be players slightly better than him. But yeah, I really, really, really comes across really well. He's a joy to watch playing football. So yeah, I hope he had a really good loan, and I hope he gets a really good move. And you know, I'd hate to see him just playing in our under 23s for under 21s now, isn't it? But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty much all of them. The only one thing left to talk about is people getting carried away about wanting to talk about Glazier's fan off the BBS. This is a man who's famously said in the past things like we should be playing Wilfried Zaha at left back, was it? That's one of his gems. Heskiff, you're on the BBS a lot.
I am. It's not me.
Is it? Well, there was a bit of an I am Glazers fan Spartacus moment on Twitter earlier where people were claiming to be him. But, I mean, this has all come around because I did several years ago. I think I've shared this story before on the pod. My wife's at a house party, and not my wife at the time. And she says, oh, when you get here, there's a couple of Palace fans here. They want to talk to you. I was like, okay, right, whatever. So I get there. These two Palace fans come over and they start chatting away. And I haven't told them that I had like do the podcast or anything like that. I'm just like, you know, I don't want to go to a house party and talk about Palace with two strangers. You know, when I'm pissed, when my missus is there, I'm just, you know, it was very early doors. Maybe now I'd talk about Palace with anyone. This is early doors in our relationship, you know. But and yeah, one of the guys is like, well, you may know who I am if you ever go on the PBS. And I was like, no, mate, I don't go on the PBS. That place is just full of, you know, I'm not really into it, so, but I'm kind of well known on there. I'm Glazier's fan. So I'm like, sorry, mate, no idea. So I like, you know, end the conversation, whatever, and I just drop a tweet out. I'm at a party. Glazier's fan is here. Talk to me. And my phone blows up. Like, absolutely off the Richter scale. Just like people going, oh my fucking God. Like, no way. Like, what does he look like? Send pictures, blah, blah. Like, that guy's a space cadet. Like, just going off. So it's whatever, like all flying off, and I'm just, you know, I didn't even notice it until I like get my phone out half an hour later and I look at it and I'm just like, what has happened? And then his mate comes over and he holds up the phone of my tweet and he's like, oh, so this is you. I was only asking because he said who he was and I was supposed to know him. So now he goes, how embarrassing for him that he's like trying to front how you may know who I am. I was like, hey, I'm nobody. Like, I'm just like someone who likes to talk about football. I'm with a couple of mates on a podcast, that's all. And he was just like, oh, so yeah. And as there'll be people listening, I suppose, who do actually know him. And the absolute classic I got in a DM was, now you've met him and you know his real name. Could you imagine if that got found out on Twitter? Because people would go wild. And I'm like, yes, yes, they would. And the voice I was doing, which is an impression of him, pretty much lets you know that he's a very posh guy. But you know what?
Been guilty like, since?
But seriously, on a serious note, I don't read the BBS. in person, he seemed like a really nice, decent guy. Like, absolutely, like, wouldn't have a bad word to say about him. So I know, like, I like to poke fun at it because people went crazy for it. But he was a decent enough guy. Like, wouldn't say boo to a goose kind of geezer unless he's behind a keyboard and thinks that Zaha needs to be moved back and playing as an attacking left wing back. But I'm sure there's plenty of people that talk about Hesketh in the same way on the BBS. Yeah.
Put a tweet out, mate, see if your phone lights up.
It won't.
Yeah, Abject, talk to me. Oh? I'll go and start a thread that says Abject thinks Elise is finished, and then that'll pretty much...
His touch is dead, confirmed.
Right, we've already waffled on enough on National Waffle Day, so we'll finish it there. Carl, thank you so much for stepping in and sharing your knowledge, and always a pleasure. Look forward to having you back on another time.
Hey, love you both. Cheers, guys. Cheers, everybody.
Hesketh, we are back next Wednesday, where we'll be reviewing Brentford, which is obviously kicking off on Tuesday night, and we'll be previewing one of two trips to Newcastle that are upcoming.
Great.
How are you going to review the 0-0 next week?
I mean, literally, Carl, we barely preview games on here. This was the longest preview we've done. We actually spoke about the game and some tactics. Usually it's like we've got 44 minutes in and it was like, oh yeah, we should probably stop chatting shit about beer and Hesketh being miserable and Albert being on holiday. But there you go. So anyway, look, thanks everyone for listening. Obviously, a match report will be out on Sunday. Seems like Hambo's back in a bit of a flow, so great to hear him back on the show. So listening to that. And obviously, head over to youtube.com/backofthenest to be looking at what DR's doing over there. And until next week, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.